I'll read our scripture in a moment. But I would just continue what I was saying before by saying that, you know, I know a lot of pastors who kind of rewrote their sermons this week completely based on Friday and everything that happened. And I obviously think it's worth addressing, but I also think it is still important for us to hear the word and to ask, how can we live? Why did Jesus come? And what does it mean that we're the body of Christ? How can we move in a world where things like this happen? And so that's what we pick up today. And we pick up a theme that begins nearly from the first words of the Bible. And that is that God speaks. That God speaks. That God is not impersonal or distant or silent. God speaks. And throughout the story of the Bible, whether it be from a burning bush or from a voice from the sky, or we're not even told how it happens, God speaks to his people and speaks into this world. And it's not to diminish all of those speakings, but to fulfill all of these speakings, that in the New Testament, I think we sense that there is something different about Jesus. That Jesus is God speaking through human vocal cords, face to face, directly to us. And when Jesus speaks in a very personal and human way, we are drawn into the kingdom of God. And that's one of the reasons why God came. Not just so that we could see the invisible God or feel God's touch, but so that we could hear God's voice speaking to us. And so I want to read to you this story, one of my favorites. It's from Luke chapter 7. And I want you to hear and notice when Jesus speaks and hear the words that he says and imagine what it would have been like to hear that voice. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," Simon replied, "speak." Jesus replied, "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is given loves little." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." God became flesh so that we could hear God's voice. There is so much that I love about this story and so much that we could say about it. But let's just notice today that when Jesus speaks, the people who hear his voice are drawn into this encounter with the kingdom of God. he begins by speaking to the Pharisee. And even though the Pharisee is maybe the villain, if you will, of this story, he begins with his name. He says, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And then he tells Simon this parable that is beautiful and filled with unexpected truth. And when Simon hears these words, he comes into this encounter with the kingdom of God, and he experiences conviction and maybe even a little anger, because his life and his thought and his whole way of looking at the world is being challenged through this encounter with the words of Jesus. And then Jesus turns to the woman, and he says very simply, "Your sins are forgiven." And as the buzz starts to go around the crowd, he proclaims to her salvation. "Your faith has saved you." And he sends her off with a word of peace. And just as the Pharisee, the woman is encountered with the kingdom of God as well. And her experience is one of forgiveness and salvation and freedom. When Jesus speaks, it goes so far beyond some theological knowledge. I mean, imagine being the woman in this scenario, someone who is widely known as a sinner, not welcome at a dinner party like this. And she doesn't just know theologically that God forgives sins. She knows through the voice of Jesus, "Your sins are forgiven." And this is not just some decree that God forgives or saves all of those who trust in him. But she hears the words, "Your faith has brought you salvation." And she doesn't just have a wish for world peace, but she has the Prince of Peace who speaks to her and tells her to go free and reconciled in peace. I think sometimes our beliefs and our ideas get so distant. God came to look us in the eye and to say our names and to speak the words that we need to hear. The voice that at one time spoke into the darkness and said, "Let there be light," and brought light. This is the voice of Jesus, God speaking to us in our language. So I'm not saying that Jesus didn't ever joke around or talk about the weather, but his words became a place where people encountered God, where people were faced with a different kind of kingdom, a different kind of life. And their lives can't be the same when they hear Jesus' words. And which brings us to just how we live this out as God's people, as the church, as the body of Christ, as the physical presence of God in this world where the Spirit is living amongst us and inside of us. If this is what Jesus' words do, what do our words do? And I think it's so important for us to not just assume all of these things we believe, but to actually speak them. And that's why we've gotten back to in recent weeks when we do our prayer of confession, to also have words of assurance where you can hear a human voice saying that God forgives you, that you are a new creation in Christ, that God has removed your sin from you as far as east is from the west. We need to hear these words with our ears. And this is our opportunity as well, that our vocal cords can vibrate with the breath of the Spirit, and that our mouths can form and shape the words of God that people need to hear. That's the opportunity that we have as the body of Christ. So what comes out of your mouth? The words that you speak, what do they do? In Colossians 4:6, Paul encourages Christians. He says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And I think that's so hard for us to do, including me. And that's why there are so many warnings in the Bible, probably more than any other warnings in the Bible. The most common is to watch what you say and to ask yourself, what are the words that you are speaking, doing? Because words are so easy and they're so plentiful. But words that draw people into an encounter with the kingdom of God are so rare. So how do you use your words? For complaining? Or for gratitude? For criticism? Or for grace? Do you use your words to show what you know? Or to help others to know the God who loves them? Do your words leave others bored and empty? Or are they seasoned with the salt of wisdom and compassion and the unexpected gospel good news words of the kingdom of God? Do you just talk? Or do you listen and know people and then call them by name and speak into their souls? We can speak in a way that brings people to encounter the kingdom of God when we listen first to the voice of Jesus speaking to us. And then when we, having listened to others, know that we can speak God's words to them, and that our words can bring hope and forgiveness and peace and salvation in the same way that Jesus' words did to this woman in the story. Our God is a God who has spoken to the world through the human voice of Jesus, and a God who is still speaking to the world through the human voices of his children. So are you listening, and what is God saying to you? And when you speak, what is the world hearing? Let's pray. Loving God, we want to speak words of healing and grace and hope. Lord, attune our ears to hear what you are saying to us. And give us the awareness and the sense of calling and the excitement that we can speak those words to others. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.